The phrase grasp all, lose all, is an apt phrase to describe a greedy heart and its consequences. Indeed, taking empties a life and not fill it. Solomon puts it practically in Proverbs 15:27. He that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house, but he that hateth gifts shall live. Dennis Gibson, in his book Go for the Life That Wins, observed well. He says that the word greed and covetousness is from the same word root and bear the same wicked fruit. It is one of the most powerful temptations, this temptation of greed, of which sinful hearts are capable of. He's telling us the power of greed to ensnare the Christian. And also one of the most destructive morally and spiritually. The temptation to take a bribe, to grab a little extra, maybe great, because there's a gain involved. You see the gain when you grab, but there is a snare that comes with it. And may we understand and learn the wisdom that Solomon said in his words. He that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house. You know, during the time of Joshua, the man Achan, he coveted after the goodly Babylonian garment when Israel attacked Ai. And it caused Israel, who have just won a great battle at Jericho, to lose to a little city. And they suffered such humiliating defeat. And you recall how Joshua came to know, right? God revealed it to him, that there was sin in the camp. And Joshua had to search through the people of Israel, tribe by tribe, family by family, until he came to the family of Achan. It was discovered that Achan had taken something, the accursed thing that he shouldn't take. And that was the cause of Israel's defeat. And you know, Joshua chapter 7, verses 24 to 26, describe the end of Achan and his family. A tragic end. Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garment, and the wedge of gold, and his sons, and his daughters, and his oxen, and his asses, and his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had, and they brought them into the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, "Why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day, and all Israel, stone him with stones and burn them with fire." After that, they had stoned them with stones. What a tragic end. "And they raised over him a heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger, wherefore the name of the place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day." And you recall the man Lot, Abraham's nephew, how he moved to Sodom because he wanted some gain from that goodly city. Right? And how he suffered great loss. His family was ruined at the end. Truly, Solomon's words provide for us great wisdom. Be careful of the greed, of be careful that you be not greedy of gain. So the man of God must hate gifts because of the corruption of bribes, and it brings dishonor upon his God. And you know, even civil government servants, they know this and they hold a high regard to say no to bribes. And that's how Singapore is able to keep a corruption-free system. There is integrity amongst the leaders. And, well, this, you see, is taught, right? The sin of covetousness, how it kills, how it ensnares the Christian. The Apostle Paul exhorted Timothy to beware of the sin of covetousness when he said in these words in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6 to 12, "But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain that we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be therewith content. But they that be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which, while some coveteth after, they err from the faith and pierce themselves through with many sorrows. This is the end for a greedy man. But thou," Paul says to Timothy, "O man of God, flee these things. Follow after righteousness." These are the same words that is given to us as Christians, that we live that virtuous life to the honor and glory of God. Godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. So Paul is saying that it's your testimony that is at stake here. It's the name of Christ that is at stake here. And in Colossians 3:3, the Apostle Paul identified covetousness as the sin of idolatry, meaning that money or riches can blind the heart to displace God as its first place. So, you know, when someone wants to displace your faith, will you tell them, name the price? Give me the amount. If it's large enough, well, I can be bought over. Jesus Christ was sold for 30 pieces of silver by Judas Iscariot. A most terrible betrayal. This is the danger of greed, when we put gain before God. Dear friends, true godliness, the Apostle Paul says, brings contentment with the material blessings that God has provided. We are contented to know that God knows our needs and He will provide them. And whatever He provides them, we have the faith to believe that it will see us through. It is sufficient for us. He will take care of our needs. And so this is great spiritual gain. And it will keep us from the temptations caused by covetousness. You know, material things are only for this life. To be content, we must have a value system that is more than the value system of this life. Anything that has true value must be eternal. If it's only good for this life, you find that the moth and the dust will come and corrupt. And so Jesus says to His disciples, do not worry about the material things of life. Trust me to provide for you. Jesus said to His disciples, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You recall last week, Elisha sent Naaman, the Syrian general, to wash in the dirty little Jordan River, and how after dipping himself 7 times, his flesh was totally changed to be like a child. He was cleansed of his leprosy. Indeed, it was a miracle Naaman was totally healed. And he was so happy. And he said to Elisha, let me give you a gift. And you recall, Elisha was careful not to accept it. That's where we left off last week. In 2 Kings chapter 5 verse 19. Elisha's reply to Naaman was this: as the Lord liveth, before whom I stand, I will receive none. And Naaman urged him to take it, but he refused. Elisha was careful as a man of God to not give any inkling of thought that the healing that came upon Naaman was because of Elisha's power. Elisha knew his place. He wanted to let Naaman know that his healing was divine. It cannot be bought with money. It is by the power of God. And Elisha conveyed the message that these miracles, the Lord's miracles, are not for hire. And this is a God-honoring practice for all of God's servants. And you know, when Peter and John were sent by the apostles in Jerusalem to go to Samaria to confirm the conversion of many over there, they met this man, Simon Magus. How he offered money to buy God's power. And you remember how Peter chided the man? He said that the power of God, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, cannot be bought with money. Elisha walked with integrity. And, you know, the covetous heart is not honest. There's no integrity in a covetous heart. And that's the difference that the Lord wants us to see. Because Elisha was honest, he gave glory to God. God gave him power to do his will. Because he was a vessel that honored God, to give all glory to God, and his life was a blessing to many. May we learn a good lesson to prefer the riches of Christ above all. However, you see, it was not so for Gehazi, his servant. We want us to see the contrast between Elisha, the man of God, and Gehazi, his servant, and that we may learn to beware of the temptation of greed. Three thoughts as we see how Gehazi fell to the sin of greed. Firstly, thoughts of a greedy heart, verse 20. Steps of a greedy heart, verse 21 to 24. And sorrow of a greedy heart, verses 25 to 27. You see a transition there. It begins with the heart, and when it is not checked, it is not arrested in the heart, it is translated into action. And when it is translated into action, it will result in a sorrow, a sad consequence. The Lord wants us to learn well this lesson. First thought, thoughts of a greedy heart, verse 20. But Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, behold, my master hath spared Naaman the Syrian in not receiving at his hands that which he brought. But as the Lord liveth, I will run after him and take somewhat of him. Now, what is this verse all about? Well, it described the thought life of this man, Gehazi. He was thinking out loud for us, right? And the writer of the book recorded for us the motions of a sinful heart, right? He saw and he wondered, why did Elisha not receive the goodies. Naaman is going back. He's going to ship everything back. All the gold, all the silver that he's brought. Why waste all the effort? We want us to realize that to beware of the hidden greed of the heart. How it comes to us suddenly. How it affects us. Right? Unlike Elisha, you see how Gehazi coveted after these rich gifts. He saw with his carnal eyes how they would enrich his life. He was not thinking of God's honor, God's name. And you know, by doing so, he would tarnish the name of God. Right? Naaman was a Gentile, a pagan man. Right? And he doesn't know anything about the way God deals. And by doing so, well, he is giving a wrong impression, right, to Naaman concerning God's power. How, you know, by your gold and your silver, this power can be gotten. Just like Simon Magus, right? What is going through Gehazi's mind when he decided to run after Naaman's chariot to ask for a gift? I submit to you that he was blinded by the glittering gold. What a waste to let all this gold be shipped back to Syria. And so it behooves us to consider carefully our motives, right, for accepting any of Naaman's gifts of gratitude. Right, there are occasions when such is perfectly acceptable. But we have to probe into the reason for doing so. As one pastor said very well, check your motive, fellow servant. Check your motive. Indeed, all motives must be honestly searched. This morning we were studying the life of Jacob. He was in Laban's house. He has been working for 14 years now. And you know, tending Laban's sheep. Laban has become prosperous. And he wanted to leave. But it was not God's time yet for Jacob to leave. And so Laban asked him to stay behind, state the terms. And, you know, Jacob learned to be honest. You remember he was a cheat. He cheated his brother Esau. And now he was honest. He said to Laban, all the ring-streaked, greased ones will be mine. All the pure, good ones, yours. And we all know, right, in the breeding of sheep and goats, that most of it will be the pure ones. It's difficult to get an unclean one, in a sense, you know, the ring-strict ones. Right, Jacob knew that if he is going to prosper, then God must prosper him. He must not use his own devices. And indeed, God prospered him. In Genesis 31, right, we were studying how he testified to his wives, right, that the angel of God spoke to him, how he would prosper. And he says that, you know, it is God who took the sheep from Laban and gave it to me. I deal honestly. That's a good lesson that Jacob was learning. Learning to be forthright. Learning to be upright. Learning to rid himself of a greedy heart, of covetousness. And so this pastor said, check your motive. No one can see the intents of our own hearts, right? Only we know. And so we have to be aware, because, you know, the consequences is for us to bear. Right? We reap what we sow. And so Jesus says, be careful. Be careful of the covetous heart. And Jesus warned his disciples to be careful and watch for the hidden sins of the heart. This is the beginning of evil. Jesus said in Mark 7, 20 to 23, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of man, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these things come from within and defile a man. And so this has to be dealt with at the root and repented of. Otherwise, right, we see the second thought. Steps of a greedy heart. Verses 21 to 24. When it is not checked, then it is translated into action. Verse 21. So Gehazi followed after Naaman. And when Naaman saw him running after him, he lighted down from the chariot to meet him and said, Is all well? And he said, all is well. Then look at the statement that he would make subsequently. What did he say? My master has sent me. Did Elisha send him? No. Elisha didn't send him. He came on his own accord. And he concocted this story in order to get gain. Right, behold, even now there be come to me from Mount Ephraim two young men of the sons of the prophets. Give them, I pray thee, a talent of silver and two changes of garment. Two young men, sons of the prophets, are in need. I ask these for them. Very noble. Seem okay. Naaman couldn't tell. How sad to see one in the cover of God's name lying with a straight face to get gain. And so Naaman was more than ready as a gesture of his sincere gratitude. He was healed. Imagine, no doctors in the known world at that time could heal him of his disease. But Naaman was healed. How happy he is. Right? He would give in exchange for that healing anything. And so, you see, Gehazi, his plan worked. Right? His lie got him what he wanted. But he was not representing the mind of God, but his own depraved mind. Years ago, there's a story about a certain bank that hired a private investigator to track down a bank robber and to retrieve stolen funds. And the search led them to another country. And the investigator crossed the border, and then, realizing that he would need a translator, opened up the telephone book and hired the first interpreter that is listed in the yellow pages. After many days, he finally captured the bandit and, through the interpreter, asked him, where did you hide the money? And in a different language, the thief replied, what money? I have no idea what you are talking about. With that, the investigator drew his pistol and pointed it at a suspect and said to the interpreter, tell him that if he doesn't tell me where the money is, I will shoot him point blank. Okay? And upon receiving this message, the bank robber said to the interpreter, "Senor, I have hidden the money in a coffee can under the fourth floorboard in the second floor men's room of a certain hotel, right, in a certain location." "What did he say?" the investigator asked the interpreter. Well, the interpreter, as he thought for a moment, he says, "He's prepared to die like a man." So the interpreter got greedy, right? He wanted the money for himself. So kill the man. All right, nobody could understand. I'm the only one who knows. So once he dies, that's it. I would get it. I would get the booty. Very skillful. Who can resist again? Dear friends, I submit to you a true man of God, one who is filled with the Spirit of God. He will resist. And, you know, the force will be exposed when he's tempted. When you lie, you'll find that you have to find another lie to cover up the other lie, and there is no way to cover up. Right? God sees, God knows, and he will judge us after our sins. So, although Gehazi concocted a story skillfully and delivered it to Naaman, how sad. Although he succeeded in receiving what he wanted, but is this good for him? No good, as we shall see from verses 25 to 27. Sorrows of a greedy heart. Verse 25 says, "But he went in and stood before his master." And before that, you recall, we said, "And he went to the tower, and he took from them from their hand and bestowed them in the house, and let the men go, and they departed." So they brought all the silver, you know, all the gold and the garments. And, you know, it's described here, the deliberate actions. One by one they take and they hide it and they put it there. And when he stood before his master, Elijah asked him, "Where did you go, Gehazi?" And what did he say? "I did not go anywhere." What a blatant lie. And here comes the exposure. Here comes the sin exposed. Right? God opened the eyes of Elisha to see the deceit that is going on. Right? Verse 26. "When not my heart with thee, when the man turn again from his chariot to meet thee, is it a time to receive money and to receive garments and olive yards and vineyards and sheep and oxen and men servants and maid servants? Do you not know what you have done has blasphemed the name of the God of Israel, the good name of God?" "The leprosy, therefore, of Naaman shall cleave unto thee," and watch this, "unto thy and unto thy seed forever." You remember Solomon's words? When we started our devotion, we said, in Proverbs 15:27, "He that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house." Not only are we affected, but the whole family is affected. Well, this was what happened to Achan. Right? This you see happening to Gehazi. Right? "The leprosy, therefore, of Naaman shall cleave unto thee and to thy seed forever." Our sin. We reap the consequence, not only ourselves, but our family. And so, every one of us, right, when we are out there working, we are a testimony for the Lord. And the Lord wants us to deal our business honestly. And this is a very good example of how we must learn to trust God. If God doesn't prosper us, we will not prosper. Just like Jacob, right? He had to learn. He struck the deal with Laban. He kept by it. And how, you know, the ring-streaked and the greased sheep came forth in abundance. Impossible. Only God could do it. Jacob realized that if God does not prosper him, he will not prosper. If God does not prosper you, you will not prosper. There is an accountability that we all have to our Master. And God sees what we do. And the Lord wants us to deal honestly. Right? In conclusion, the Apostle Paul's words once again is a good concluding thought for us. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. For they that be rich fall into temptation and a snare, are those who want to be rich. And into many foolish and hurtful lusts which drawn men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveteth after, they have erred from the faith, that's Gehazi, right? And pierced themselves through with many sorrows, right? He paid a heavy price, not only him, but his family. And so before we do anything, before we take anything, let us think twice, let us think three times, let us think 10 times, you know. Very important. But thou, O men of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Learn to resist. Learn to say no when you are challenged, when you are tempted. And you know, we are taught to pray this prayer by our Lord. Lead us not into temptation. Lead us not into temptation. Do you pray this prayer daily to ask God to shield your heart from the temptations that can come in your life that will cause you to fall when you succumb to it? Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. What is the things that are of true value must be eternal. Right? The things that are temporal are not of true value. We cannot carry it with us. Right? Whereunto thou art also called, and has professed a good profession before many witnesses. Thoughts of a greedy heart, verse 20. Steps of a greedy heart, verse 21 to 22. Sorrows of a greedy heart, verses 25 to 27. May God's people trust God to take care of them when they serve Him to the honor and glory of His blessed name. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, may Thou help us to deal honestly in life. May Thou help us to be men and women of integrity. Men and women who love the truth, who love to live an honest life before God and before men. O Lord, we have learned of the blessing of integrity, of an honest life. We see this in the life of Elisha, how the power of God flowed through his life. He's never in need, never in lack anything, for his Lord takes care of him. O Lord, may Thou help us to understand the truth that You are our true security, that we may cling on to You and not the things of this life, and receive Thy eternal blessing. This I pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.